Ever notice you walk better when you have a grocery cart? Maybe it's time to call Joint Relief Institute for fast, non-surgical knee pain relief. 708-888-0000.
720 WGN. Good evening. I'm John Landecker, and I just happened to sleep in late tonight, or tonight, last night. And so I got up late this morning. I guess that's what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way. Way to start the show, John. Thanks. And I got an email from Bob Surratt telling me that Tom Dreesen had passed away and that perhaps we should go on the air and talk about it. And that was the first I heard about it. And here's Bob Surratt, and we are going to talk about it. How are you, Bob?
Well, it's a tough day. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news today, but we heard Tom Dreesen there at the top of the broadcast and then Chicago music. And today we also learned about the passing of Walt Perezader, one of the founding members of Chicago. So we've had better days.
Whew. And boy, you got that right.
We both had great times with Tom and also with Walt and the guys from Chicago. You know, Tom, it was funny because he had a favorite story, and it was about you. And the last time I saw Tom,
yes,
it was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And back in the 70s, they used to do a comedy showcase at Le Pub. Was that the name of the place on North?
That's Park? One of that, or know? Like, was there an Acorn on Oak or something like that? Or
yeah, they did a couple like of them, these showcases, yeah, where they would have amateur comedians come up, and they became very popular, but Tom was one of the first people to start one of those, and he did it, I think, on Monday night. So occasionally after John got off the air, and what was I doing hanging out with John at 10? I at 6.
I'm asking myself that question right now.
But we go to one of these Tom Dreesen comedy showcases, yeah, and yeah, have a few laughs, hang out with Tom, watch the comics. And one night, John said, you know, I could do that. And Dreesen said, okay, you want to try? And fortified with a couple of root beers, possibly something heavier,
yeah, stronger, maybe.
John gets up to do a set of, yeah, comedy. Mm. And I don't remember this exactly, but the way Tom Dreesen loved to tell the story was, John Landecker said, I could do that. And he fortified himself and with some refreshments. He got up there for about 15 or 20 minutes and bombed completely. Now, I don't know if that's true, but he loved to tell that story. It was true that we used to hang out there with him.
Well, I have a slightly different version, although not drastically. Okay, so we would go to these comedy showcases, and you could get up and do something if you wanted to. And you and I went to more than one. But but they were, as you say, middle 70s. So decades later, I think we're down in Harvey at a Holiday Inn or somewhere. And Tom's there to perform, and he turns to me and says, John, you know, tell every young comic that I talk to a story about you. And I'm like, well, what do you know about that? I can't believe that, Tom. What's it all about? And he said, well, there was the night that we had the comedy showcase, and you thought you were going to do stand-up, and you got up there, and you were drunk and proceeded to stand, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes making fun of the Japanese tourists that were there. And I
that's the
I remember. And, you know, I certainly don't remember the actual incident. And he says, you know, I use that story to this very day, John. I tell all the young comics, you know, don't get loaded before you go up there and do what you need to do. And who knows how many careers I've helped along the way with that message.
Yeah. Probably a lot, because Tom was every comic's friend and mentor. And it's amazing, because back in the early 70s, when Tom went to Hollywood, I mean, he slept in his car in the L.A. area for a long time. while he was trying to make it. And I remember sitting in, I think it was the Comedy Store out in L.A. with Tom, not long after he was starting to make enough money to at least move somewhere out of his car. And, you know, we sat there and watched these comics one after another perform. And he was such a student of comedy. He was so scientific about it. I remember one guy came out and, you know, Tom, of course, never worked blue, but he didn't have anything against that. But
no,
one guy comes out and, you know, swears a little bit and then goes into his act and doesn't do well. And Tom kind of nudges me with his elbow and he's whispering to me as the guy is still on stage, "See, now the problem is if you want to do something like that, don't do that right at the beginning of your act. Wait, let the audience get to know you a little bit, and then you, maybe you can get it in towards the end." I mean, that's the way he observed a science, as he would call it, of comedy.
You know, I did not know a lot about Tom Dreesen's background, you know, other than, you know, he was from Harvey and we hung out with him and he was funny. And, you know, we also knew Tim of Tim and Tom, and we knew them when they were.
Tim Reed.
We knew both of them when they were a comedy team. But I didn't realize, I was reading the Rick Kogan obituary today, I didn't realize Tom's really hardcore beginnings and what his family had to go through and what his living situation was like and all of that, which just really sort of shocked me because I had no idea that that's what happened to him coming up, you know?
Yeah, he talked about that in one of the shows he would do where he would just basically give his life story. He talked about Harvey, Illinois, tough upbringing, house full of kids, and you know, nobody had their own room, nobody had any money. He was shining shoes and then working in a bar. Yeah, it was very tough. It's quite a story. Once he got out of the service, that's when he kind of started working on his career. But he really came from nothing.
Absolutely.
To end up being the opening act for Frank Sinatra, to be on the Carson Tonight Show many, many times. He even was in a couple of movies. He was in Spaceballs. He did a Columbo. I mean, this guy really became a big star.
I think he opened for Sinatra for like 13 years, I think. I mean, it was an incredible number.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And he was so loyal, always remembered his friends and Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was at Wrigley Field all the time. He would, you know, it's funny because he mingled especially with Sinatra, the top stars of show business. He played golf with Smokey Robinson. But what he loved most is just hanging out with his old pals in Chicago.
Yes. You know, I never got the showbiz, "I'm a star, aren't I funny now? Look, I've made it" vibe from him ever. You know, it was just, "Hey, here's Tom. Here's Tommy from Harvey. How you doing? I'm good. What's happening?" You know, that was about it. Although I have to tell you, I don't know. I don't know if I've said this on the air or not before, but I think it's maybe about 7 years ago now, 8 years ago. I was in Los Angeles to take some classes, and the Comedy Store where he performed often was, I don't know, around the corner from this the place I took my instructions from. And there was going to be a open mic night or something like that, and it was ridiculously cheap. I mean, it was like 45, 50 bucks a head. And this is in L.A., downtown, Sunset Strip. And I'm in there with my wife, and we're watching comic after comic after comic, and they're all really young, right? And some of them are very well-known, and they're funny. And then, all of a sudden, here comes Tom Dreesen. Towards the end of the entire evening. And I didn't take it upon myself to, like, try to, you know, hunt him down after it was over. I just sort of let it slide because, I don't know, it just seemed not the right place. But he was still doing it. I mean, he was still bringing it. And
I didn't
realize how old he was. I always, you know, I always had this image of Tom Dreesen. He's that young guy, you know. He's the funny young guy. And he always looked young. He looked extremely young, youthful when I was out there in L.A.
Yeah, he took care of himself. He boxed when he was younger. I think he was in the Marines, wasn't he? I mean, he died at 86, but up until he had some health issues during COVID and after.
Yes.
But
yeah.
Recently, he was, until about a month ago, he was very, very active and in great shape. I saw him a couple of years ago. And just as sharp as ever. And yes, he never looked his age, did he?
Never. And the thing too, you mentioned it earlier, and it was evident in the little clip that I played. He never worked blue, ever. I mean, he didn't even get close to blue. And around him in the world of comedy, going blue was just about everywhere, and it got bluer and bluer. I mean, it was, you couldn't escape
it. It was the easy way. It was the easy way out.
And here's Tom, this island of really funny stuff, in the midst of all this X-rated material, sticking to his comic guns and being really, really funny. So that's, you know, more power to him. Yeah.
He, you know what? The thing was, he was a very smart guy. I don't know if you ever heard any of his motivational talks, but he used to do that. He worked for many companies, and I saw one of those, and he said one thing one time, and I'll never forget it. I always think about this. He was talking about how, in spite of the fact that we all think we can multitask, the brain can only handle one thought at a time. So Tom said, if you're down, you're worried about paying the bills, you have anxiety about something, Don't just try to block that thought out. That won't work. What you do is get another thought in your brain. Start zeroing in on something else in your mind. And if you do that, the brain can only go to one place at a time. And so the brain will go with your more positive thought, and you will not be thinking about whatever is bugging you. I use that all the time. When I do a bad show, which is quite often, I just think of something else. And that's right. And then I'm not bothered by the fact that I'm doing a poor broadcast.
I'm tuning in and I'm going, I don't think Bob's thinking about what he's doing. No, he's thinking about something
right.
else.
But I'm happy.
Very happy. He sounds very happy doing it, too, I want to tell you.
Well, I hope they make the movie of the book, Tim and Tom, American Comedy in Black and White. Because the last time I saw him, and it was fairly recently, he said they're working on it. They're going to do it. So
right.
Let's hope.
I remember
it's a
that
good story.
And there's going to be a memorial service that obviously it's not been announced yet, but.
I think they're going to do something in Los Angeles. I wouldn't be surprised if something was put together in Chicago as well.
Well, hey, Tom Dreesen, rest in peace for sure. Bob Serrano, I got one
we'll
more.
Miss him.
You bet. Yep. Yeah, already. I got one more thing. Today, talk about a pivot. Today is the anniversary of the opening of Old Chicago in Bolingbrook.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh my! It's been a Landecker amusement park milestone month, hasn't it? Because isn't it the anniversary of the opening of Great America, which you attended? Yeah.
When I was hired by WGN to be on the air, so I got an office, and what am I going to put on the wall? And basically, the only thing from the radio days. At LS is a plaque that was given to us being Bob and myself. We're pictured in the on the front of the plaque, and we're addressing somebody. We're talking to people who were there, and we're on the stage at Old Chicago doing what they called a fishbowl. I think that's the term for the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Oh, the telethon.
The telethon, yeah, and that's what's on my wall. So. You know, I won't be there tomorrow when you come in, but if you want to go in and take a look,
I will.
I guess it's the only thing I brought from back in the day. Very, very nice plaque too. Very nice plaque. I got to add.
Old John at Old Chicago.
Is that black and white picture
yes.
on the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, I know which one it is.
Yeah. Well, it's the only one on the wall, I believe. You can't miss it. All right, Bob. Hope to talk to you again sometime with much happier.
Yeah, better news. Yeah. We'll play a little clip of our last conversation with Tom on GN in the morning. And also, sadly, we have a conversation with Walt Perezader, he was a sweet guy and a great musician, wasn't he?
That's an understatement. I'll talk to you soon, Bob. Thanks for coming on.
Hope so.